N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.
Welcome back to the N10 show. On this week's show, spectacles in the movies.
These are probably the most famous pair, are the Harry Potter. And these are made for Johnny Depp's new film, which is called Dark Shadow.
They're about 1860. They were originally French railway glasses. And the side panels were to stop the soot on the railway drivers.
And coffee art, the world's largest painting made using coffee.
It's an interesting medium to use because you can't get, you know, perfect results with it. It's just the very nature of it. It doesn't dry very quickly. It doesn't, you know, it's got quite sloppy properties to it. You know, it doesn't like to drip, and it, you know, so it's quite nice to paint with something that you're never going to get perfect results.
You're listening to the N10 Show with me, LJ. So we start this week with the movies and Simon Murray, a costume curator turned glasses expert. Simon, having worked for a number of years as a costumier on high-profile movies, spotted a gap in the market for renting out glasses to wardrobe departments and actors as props. He now supplies 60% of the world's movies with glasses for actors. And so if you spot an actor with a pair of glasses on, they've more than likely come from Simon. Mr. Specs himself came to meet me in Highgate Woods yesterday to tell me about his new book on the history of the spectacle.
I was approached by a friend of mine, Nikki Alder, who's a costume designer as well. She did a two-book deal, and she's just done this beautiful book on scarves and handkerchiefs, because she picks things that people haven't done before that are interesting. And she approached me, and Thames and Hudson have taken it, and it launches on the 1st of October in the UK. Fashion spectacular, spectacular fashion. And it's basically an insight of the history of glasses. And we wrote it for the insight, because people don't realise that glasses have been going since 1296. Nero used two emeralds to watch his gladiators fight. And the nice thing about the book, and Thames and Hudson have backed it all along, is when you do buy the book and you look at the website, you can have any pair of glasses made. Julian's, the auction house in Los Angeles that auction all the Michael Jackson stuff, they're setting up a book launch in Los Angeles in November. I'm going to sell everything in the book, all the glasses in the book, and I'm going to sell a lot of my celebrity stuff, because this is a great way that I can start raising money for the charity.
The book's dedicated to...
obviously my mum, but the main person is Michael Douglas, because the best film I ever did was a movie called Jewel of the Nile. And Michael said one day, he said, you know, you're great at wardrobe, but he said, think of product placement. And I said, well, what's product placement? He said, well, do you remember on the boat yesterday when I said to Kathleen Turner, I said, oh, have you got a bud? He said, I get 50 grand for that. So when I came back, they couldn't find glasses. And the extraordinary thing was, a week later, I'm flying on a plane to France to do a movie, and a woman was sitting next to me, and she just waited. And she said to me, you're always the last on the plane, aren't you? So I said, yeah. And she said, why? And I told her the reason why. So I said, what do you do for a living? She said, I run an optical factory in Manchester. And she said, whenever you're up there, and a month later, I was up there making a movie, I went round it. They were just going to close it down. So there were thousands of frames, which I bought. And my mum ran it from our house in Great Russell Street. Every movie star came there. Actors love glasses because it's something to hide behind. It's a prop.
Something, you know, to fiddle with.
Oh, well, they chew it or they play with it. And the extraordinary thing people don't realise, it's the only thing you can get on an actor's face. My mum phoned me up one day and she said, listen, there's a chap and a lady in the shop and they want to buy the glasses. So I said, well, what glasses? And it was Oakley. And I said, well, they can have them for £75. So I went back and I said, Mum, the glasses are still in the cabinet. She said, we saw these. I couldn't be bothered to phone you back. I gave £75. I said, Mum, they're £2 disco glasses. So a week later, this guy phones back and says, Rosie, have you got another pair? So she said, well, what have you done with them, you silly boy? She said, well, I've just been on Blue Peter and the kids have fallen in love with my glasses. I've given them. So I said to my mum, who is this bloke? She said, he's an Indian chap. His name's Freddie.
Was it Freddie Mercury? Was it?
We carry in stock 800 years of glasses. Now we're doing 60% of glasses in films worldwide. And for the last 5 or 6 years, every time I meet an actor, I get them to draw a pair of glasses that best represents them as a character. And then what I want to do is auction off the drawings eventually. I've got people like Tom Cruise, Danny DeVito, Michael Douglas. I've just been to America and I've just got Donna Smith, who's the ex-president of Universal Pictures. She's just done it for me. And then I was introduced to Tippi Hedren, and she's just drawn a pair of lions on glasses because she has a lion sanctuary. And the nice thing is when I can get the money together, I want to make a substantial amount of glasses that opticians will want to sell. So, you know, when you have a red nose day, you'll have a red glasses day. So once a year on the 1st of April, which was my mum's birthday, you'll be able to buy a pair of glasses for charity.
So, and describe the glasses that you've got there.
These are probably the most famous pair, are the Harry Potter. And these are made for Johnny Depp's new film, which is called Dark Shadow.
They're about 1860. They were originally French railway glasses. And the side panels were to stop the soot on the railway drivers.
That was Simon Murray. And if you want to find out more about Simon and his glasses, a link to his site will be on n10show.com.
Is your website static? Do you want to make it more interactive? If the answer is yes, you need to book your place on one of our WordPress workshops. Let us show you how to create a website that will grow with your business. Twitter feeds? No problem. Ads? No problem. Payments? No problem. We'll even show you how to populate your site with content that will attract visitors. So what are you waiting for? Give us a call. Lindsay Miller from reddesk.co.uk did.
We work with small businesses offering business support from finance to events to social media. Since starting the course, I've decided to upgrade my own website and work on it myself so that I can upload and make an active website. It's been very useful because it's been step by step guiding you through every part of uploading a website instead of having to ask somebody else every time you're able to do it yourself.
To find out more, log on to courses.muswellhillmedia.co.uk or call us on 07976 933 911.
And now to coffee art and the world's largest painting made using coffee, which is being exhibited at the local gallery on Avenue Mews in Muswell Hill. Artist Nathan John Booth explains why he used coffee.
The original reason was because of its kind of ritualistic properties. Coffee's used for rituals around the world, you know, I mean, it's used in like Ethiopia, they use it. They have like coffee rituals and things like that. I was just interested in that and you know, in its very nature, coffee is created. It's created through heat. You know, it's got that kind of, you know, that transformation happens when it's, you know, it's roasted and then it becomes something else. And it's also, you know, it's the caffeine. It's got that kind of, changes the body. It's got that kind of power to it.
Okay, so transformation is something that is key.
Yeah, a kind of taking something and making it into something more meaningful, more important, or, you know, that's something quite important to my work.
And so how did you find out about painting with coffee? Was it by accident or had you heard somebody else doing it? Or
back at university, there was somebody else who was making art using the materials he had around him, you know, so working very cheaply. That's where I first heard of using coffee. It's instant coffee and, you know, you can mix it into very, very thick paste. It's an interesting medium to use because you can't get, you know, perfect results with it. It's, you know, it's just the very nature of it. It doesn't dry very quickly. It doesn't, you know, it's got kind of sloppy properties to it. You know, it likes to drip and it, you know. So it's quite nice to paint with something that you're never going to get perfect results. If you paint it very thinly, it's more like watercolour. You can do washes with it. You know, to get the dark, really dark colours, you need to apply it very thickly. It's not really like any other paint because other paint, if you apply it thickly, tends to stay where it is, you know, whereas the coffee will drip, you know, it carries on moving.
So describe for me what you've painted, or the painting that's it's described as the largest coffee painting. I mean, are there other coffee paintings in the world?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, people do paint in coffee. Oh. I mean, it's unofficially the largest coffee painting. There's a series of figures. It's 14 and a half feet long and 5 foot high. I call it a coffee frieze. And there's six figures. They're all women. They're standing in line except for the one who's kneeling. There's quite strong lighting as well, like the sort of lighting you would find in old master paintings, you know, like Caravaggio, that sort of thing. So there's quite heavy shadows. So it's quite a moody piece. My work is about signs and symbols, you know, it's things that seem to have significance, that seem to have a kind of religious meaning to them. It's about like using the body to create potent images. So that's really what it's about. It's sort of implying that there's a meaning to it, but there isn't really. It's more of like an exploration of you know, these images. I like that it's made of coffee.
Why is that appealing? Because as you were saying, that it's linked to sort of that it's ritualistic, yeah. And that it's sort of everyday.
Yeah. I mean, I am interested also in the kind of the dividing line between something that's really serious, and something that's quite silly, quite absurd. And I think this fits that quite well. I find that sort of thing interesting, the way something can be described as, you know, beautiful and powerful and, you know, and quite serious and important. And then, you know, something else might be described as silly and absurd, but, you know, there's a very fine dividing line between that.
That was Nathan John Booth. And if you'd like to see the painting for yourself, go along to the local gallery on Avenue Mews. A link to the gallery for opening times is on ntenshow.com. And that's all we have for this week. My thanks to Simon and Nathan. All the details from this week's interviews are online at ntenshow.com. And if you'd like to take part or have any comments, you can post on the website or you can follow us on Twitter at MuswellHM. And next week, we have the store manager from Waitrose, very exciting, telling us more about what to expect from the new store. Until then, goodbye.
N10, brought to you by Muswell Hill Media.